Dear Dr. Clay, having been ill for most of Freshers Week, I have only just made it down to the English faculty to open my mail. I was due to start your course, The Devil Has the Best Lines, next Tuesday. But a note from the administration office informs me that due to oversubscription, my place has been deferred to a future date as yet unknown. I am writing to tell you just how crushed I am by this news. Since I first read your masterpiece, The Truants, I have considered your scorching and irreverent commentary something of a manifesto for life. I applied to this university purely so that I could be taught by you, and on receiving a place, immediately requested to study in either of the modules that you offer this term. Since my place on The Devil Has the Best Lines was confirmed at the beginning of the summer, I have completed the reading list, including a full immersion in the gin-soaked minds of Hunter S. Thompson, Zelda Fitzgerald, and John Cheever. I did this mainly in the back room of a pet shop in Reigate, where I took a job this summer cleaning shit out of budgerigar and hamster cages so that I could finance my studies, all of which was made bearable by the idea of being taught by you. So this news is a blow indeed. Considering we have not yet met, I can't understand what I have done. Someone knocked on the door. I ignored it and carried on typing furiously. That makes me suddenly less desirable or eligible than another student. More knocking. It feels, to paraphrase a famous poem, like someone is treading all over my dreams. I am writing this letter as a last-ditch attempt, an appeal to your humanity. The door banged open. A blonde guy with lazy, knowing eyes and a handsome face, Mark, or maybe Max, second year, historian. Let's say Max. For a moment, he stared at me in confusion. Then his gaze moved from where I was sitting, cross-legged on the bed, and roved suspiciously over the contents of the room. Bare, blue tack-scarred walls, narrow single bed, small hanging wardrobe, my half-unpacked suitcase.
Sorry, wrong room.
He had already turned to go when he twisted round, hand on the doorframe.
Hey, didn't we meet in the bar last night?
I nodded, biting back a sarcastic comment. I have lots of very curly, long dark hair, a wide mouth and quite a slight figure. Boys notice me briefly, I think, then look elsewhere. Max had patently introduced himself, walking towards me, smiling straight into my eyes, in the hope of chatting up Georgie. A moment of deference towards the friend of the target. I knew the score. It had already happened a couple of times that night. Enough to make me suspect that my new friend was one of those girls that men find irresistible. Something about her almost too curvy body, her boyishly cropped blonde hair, her sloping, sleepy eyes, made everyone, even me, think about sex.
So, Georgie's a good friend of yours,
Max said, sitting down on the end of my bed and pushing back a fringe of newly washed hair. Kind of. If it hadn't been for the letter I'd just been writing, I might have been amused by being used so transparently. Tapping out the end of my sentence, I signed off with a digital flourish. Yours, ever hopeful, Jessica Walker.
You weren't at school together or anything?
Why do you ask?
Just wondering. Girls are so tight with girls they've met at school. You seemed kind of into each other.
He was one of those guys who was a lot less handsome when he smiled. More of a smirk, really, showing too many teeth cluttered in his jaw. We met last week.
Bet you're best friends already.
He nodded knowingly. Do you know where she is? She said she'd come for a coffee with me, but I'm sure she said she was in room 16B.
This is 16B, isn't it?
I nearly laughed. Thanks for that, Georgie. She's gone home for a few days.
Oh?
He hesitated for a moment.
To see her boyfriend?
I shrugged. I haven't checked her diary. He raised his hands defensively.
Right.
He looked at me again as if being forced to read instructions on a manual that he'd hoped he could bypass.
Remind me your name.
I looked at the weak, handsome face, his shirt belted into pressed jeans. Minor public school, I hazarded. Father's a chauvinist. Lazy worldview. The answer is, I don't know.
You don't know what?
I don't know whether Georgie has a boyfriend. The lobes of his ears went pink, but he managed to pull himself together in time to laugh it off.
I'm sure she has. Just tell her Max stopped by, will you? After he left, I reread the email a couple of times, the cursor hovering over the send icon. It was a stupid letter, a childish, petulant letter, written on the back of 4 days of stomach flu and a wobbly trip to the bar that Georgie had talked me into, because there's only so much Ava Gardner you can get away with before you become Howard Hughes. I had written it for myself, really, not actually to send. It was only because it was a Sunday and the administration office was closed, leaving me no place to vent my disappointment, that I had even thought of hunting through the university website to get Dr. Lorna Clay's email address. Then I looked over at my copy of The Truants alone on the shelf, above the built-in desk, its pages so well thumbed that it wouldn't close properly, and thought, fuck it, what have I got to lose? And with a sudden rush of adrenaline, clicked the mouse. As soon as I snapped shut my laptop, regret settled over me like an itchy blanket. And then the itch sank deeper into my bones as I felt myself being dragged backwards in time. Back to Boxing Day at home 9 months before, with my sister scowling on the sofa as my father made bad jokes about her boyfriend, Dan Pike, plenty more fish in the sea. Not understanding that being dumped over Christmas when you're 21 doesn't call for a punchline, much less a pun. My dad, who painted fantastical figures in the shed at the end of our garden, but left his imagination locked up there. And my older brother smirking as he stroked the knobbly spine of our chocolate lap, Gladstone, by the fire. And the twins not giving a shit, and my mother not really listening, much less caring. So that in the end, I had stood up and walked out. And the thing I happened to have in my hand as I walked into the kitchen, a book we had been given at Christmas by Uncle Toto, of all people. That feeling when I read the first few pages of The Truants, my bum warm against the aga and the smell of mince pies like hot tar in the air. A book that should have been cleverly irrelevant at best. A book about some drunk dead writers. Literary criticism. When the hell did that change anyone's life, for God's sake? Except it did. Mine. And I knew it would, almost from the first paragraph. Because Lorna's voice pulled me in and down like a riptide carrying you underwater and far out to sea so that when, about page 5, I flipped to the author picture on the back and saw her clever, beautiful face and read the sentence about where she taught, I thought, here she is at last. The person who will take me out of this small, airless world before the banality chokes me. The rooms and halls all had narrow floor-to-ceiling windows. I stood up to open mine, then remembered you couldn't. To discourage suicides, I thought, looking at the grey paving slabs below. Under a flat morning sky, a stream of people were walking away from the zigzag-shaped residence halls, across the scrubby grass, towards the grey breeze blocks that made up the back of the canteen. Without the glowing prospect of Lorna's teaching, I was confronted by the drab reality of where I would be living for the next 3 years. A concrete shithole in the middle of flat, windswept Norfolk on what, if you looked at a map, was actually the bulging arse of the UK. Worse, I would now be shoved into some other unknown module, most likely with Dr. Porter, who wore skinny black jeans and one earring and had pegged me as a Lorna groupie when I'd come for my interview. No doubt he would be teaching something pretentious and incomprehensible like the phonetics of postmodernism, or one of those other courses that made me sympathise for a moment with my mother's views on studying English lit. Spots appeared on the window, multiplying rapidly. It had started to rain.